bow before your altar today and recognizing what a gracious gift you really are at Christmas and throughout our lives as you come into our circumstances and you love us like you do. Come and bless each of us, Lord, here today. We pray that our hearts would be turned toward you. We pray that we would be repentant and sincere about it in dealing with areas of our lives where there's compromise or immorality, where we have failed to even be the people that you've called us to be, where we just live beneath the potential of what you're calling us to have and do and be in our lives, Lord. We pray that you would create a spirit of unity here. We ask, Lord, that you would be the reason we gather. We ask, Lord, that your name alone would be lifted up. We ask, Lord, that you would receive the glory and the praise, that we would acknowledge that all things come from your gracious hand, and that in everything you are more than able to bring healing and strength, recovery, and all that we ask and could possibly even imagine. Lord, today we pray that as our hearts are turned toward you, you would fill us with both wisdom and understanding and determination and just the sincerity, Lord, of a walk with you that's real. Come and bless each of your people here in this place. We pray this in your name, Jesus. God's people say, amen.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. I was told by my wife it's a privilege to read the word on Christmas Day. I told her it's a privilege every day. So we're going out of Galatians chapter 4, starting at verse 1, going through verse 7. Galatians 4, it's up there. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to the guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Sends the reading.
I'd like to invite children to come down, if you would. Come on. Yeah. It's children's sermon time. Yes. Well, good. Well, I've got three presents for you today because it's Christmas morning. And the first one is really the most important one. And the last one is the least important, but it's still a nice gift. And the one in between is kind of a little bit in between, okay? This first one, I have $5. This is not important. Not the $5. What's inside is what's important. Because inside this $5 is the Christmas story. Is why Jesus came to earth. It is his birthday, and we celebrate it with him. So here's what I'm going to do. When we get ready to go, I'm going to give each one of you $5, and you're going to have to give a couple of them away. Can you do that? Because watch, this door opens up like that. That's not a real $5, is it? And you know what it says inside?
Yes.
It says how a sinner like you and me can go to heaven. That's what the story, that's what Christmas is about. How you and me, even though we don't always behave right, can go to heaven. So that's the first gift. I'll put that right there, okay? The second gift is a little bit different, and this one is real. This one is from my mother, Alice Harmon, and I have one of these for each of you. And this gift is called a half dollar. This is a special Christmas gift because you came this morning. This, most people don't even have these anymore. These are called collectors. That means you treat it special. You don't give it away and you don't use it as money. But that's 50 pennies right there, not 25 like a quarter. 50 pennies. So that's my second gift. But it's money. My third gift is just the old-fashioned treat. Now, you got to understand, people get this stuff mixed up all the time. In other words, they think that real money is what matters. And they sometimes think that the food, the little bit of candy they get, is what matters. But the real truth is what really matters is what's inside. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do for me today. All right? I'm going to ask each of you, here we go, come and take two or three. Here you go. And pass one around. Take one for you. Pass one around. Pass some around to all the people so they all get the real story that matters. Okay? You keep one, but give the rest away to people you don't even know, because that was what we got to do. Give it away to somebody we don't know. Walk around the church. All right, you got to wait. I got to get the first group out first. Walk around the church, and there you go. Give them out. Good. And Brian, would you come help me? And then here we go. I got some more if everyone didn't get one. Who didn't get one? Raise your hand. Say, raise your hand. Go get, oh, they over there. Way in the back. Running back. Way in back there. Way in back. They came all the way from Florida. No, how many you get? Need to get, make enough for everybody. There's more. You got some more hands up?
Yeah.
All right, that's all I got. All right. I guess I have one more if somebody didn't get one. Here we go. All right, now you have to come get your, how many pennies?
Five.
50. 50 pennies. All right. And here you go. All right. And this is just because you came on Christmas morning. One for you. One for you. One for you. One for you. One for you.
Okay.
One for you. And you. And you. And one for you, because you came Christmas morning, sat in the front row. And one for you, because you came Christmas morning and sat in the front row. Yeah. You get to sit back down. Oh, she got some. She got hers already. Oh, she gave it away. Well, that was sweet. Here, this one you get to keep. There you go. You got some extras? No? All right. Did we get all the people? Everyone got one? Excellent. You guys get to go. Sit back down. Oh, your treat. Come get your candy treat. I don't know if that was a successful sermon or not, but. Oh, over here. Right there. Right there. Go in the bag. Wait, Henry, right there. This is Henry, because I have a story starting the sermon with Henry this morning. Henry was my grandpa's name, and So I'm sleeping-ish. And 5 o'clock, what time was it, Nathan or Keith? And I hear noise out in my kitchen, living room area where, and the kids, you know, they don't know what a clock is yet, right? So whenever they wake up, they're up. But I go back down, and Keith's got Henry sitting on his lap. He said, "Guess what?" I said, "What?" He said, "I'm laying in bed." He said, "I'm more asleep than awake." And all of a sudden, I hear what I think is a little patter of pitter-patter of feet. And he says, "Well, I thought the kids were maybe just getting up." And then it stopped. And he said, "But," he said, "my father's instincts kicked in." So I guess fathers have those too. So, and he said, "I decided to come downstairs. So I put on some clothes quick. I came downstairs. And Henry was outside of our house, had put his boots on, was sitting there in his PJs, out on the front, on the back porch, crying because he couldn't figure out how to get back in, apparently. And so Daddy rescued Henry this morning, and it turned into a great little sermon story instead of a tragedy, right? Kids do sometimes unpredictable things. And that was a very quick Henry story. Hopefully they'll learn, or we'll bolt the doors or tie them to the bed or whatever you got to do to finally get those things done. But it's one of those interesting things. So praise the Lord that we have already had a Christmas miracle that woke my son up. Our second Christmas miracle is the one we talked about, Christmas miracle, and I'm not going to say too much. But I believe it was very much a Christmas miracle. This congregation, in 2 Sundays, when we adopted those 6 families, I think it turned into 7, when we adopted those families, in those 2 Sundays, donated over $2,300 the first day, Sunday. And enough the second Sunday that $9,000-some came in. I go, praise God. Praise God for you. Praise God for what he's doing in our hearts. Praise God, because here's what's wild. You can't outgive him. You want to find a place to invest your money? It's not in the stock market. It's certainly not in a bank savings account. I've had a $1,000 savings account. I made 11 cents this, you know. I go, wow. I hope I don't spend it all in one place. Use it all up in a children's sermon when I give away pennies or something. I've given you my whole interest for a whole year. I go, you invested in God. Just get out of the way. Just get out of the way. Because how God blesses you and what he intends to do with you and what he wants to teach you is so much more. You know, you understood my illustration a little bit. I'm not sure the kids got it. But out of all the things they got, food disappears a moment on our lips, forever on our hips, as it says, right? And Christmas is probably notorious for that more than any other time. And then money, everyone that's ever had a deal with knows how sometimes how quickly it can come and how easily it can go. But the thing that matters is that investment we make in Jesus Christ. And so I want to focus just a little bit with you on Galatians 4 this morning, because there's all kinds of love and gifts and giving of oneself. There are different ways we give to people and different ways we invest ourselves in people. And one of them, of course, is the God bless you, have a great day, you know. That smile in the morning you give to somebody at work, it's not a bad thing by any means. It's just a little bit distant or, you know, surfacey. Hey, how are you doing today? Good to see you. Have a great day. And that's one level of investment in people and things like that. Another level of investment in people is to take the time to talk to them. How are you doing? You know, what's your name? You have anything I can pray about? You know, those things that actually carry you into that next level. The last one is the one that I want us to become aware of. When God invests himself and chooses you, he goes wholeheartedly into your life. He holds nothing back. The old all-in kind of a phrase that comes and you begin to understand. God says, no, I am all in for you. And that's what goes on in Galatians here. There's this little analogy I want to get you familiar with. It starts actually a little before verse 4, before chapter 4, but I'm not going to cover everything back there. It just identifies that, says, verse 1, I'm saying that as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave. And historically, it just simply meant if your daddy was very wealthy and you're just a child, you're still going to be treated as a child, even though in one sense, if you were the sole heir, you would be getting everything that dad has one day as they would hand it down from father to son in a typical pattern there. And he goes into this, he's subject to guardians and trustees. The same way if, you know, my 2, 5, 10, 15-year-old son was following and I had invested and had this to give him, that would be given to a trustee or someone else to take care of it. And so that's how Paul starts this little section out. And then he finishes it off. He says, so also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. And when he speaks about slavery, he means slavery. He means that you think you're free, but your flesh is running you. You think you're free, but your mind is driven by all the things of the world. And you find yourself every once in a while getting caught. You go, wow, I just thought it was more important to have money than to take care of people. It's that moment when you write out a check and it's for 2, 3, 5, 10 times more than you've ever written. And you start to go, putting it in the offering plate or giving it to somebody and you go, and you pause and that mental thought races through your head and there's that little check where you kind of go, that's what we're talking about, how easy it is to be enslaved by what the world keeps saying. I told you invest in God. That's the only thing I can guarantee for you. And the return is totally unpredictable, but overwhelmingly great. And so you begin to understand that call and that walk of faith is something many Christians or most Christians never quite get to. That step of faith that says, I will operate trusting in the promises of God, where he says, you bring it in, you bring in that offering, you lay it out, you give it away, and I will open the floodgates of heaven for you. You have to hear the heart of God because Christmas is a manifestation of the heart of God for a wretched, sinful world. You want to know how God feels toward the stupidity and wickedness and the bitterness and the anger and the hatred of nation and a nation against nation, man against woman, woman against man, people and brothers and sisters, and all the things that we could go back to. God says, I send my son into the middle of it. And you want to know how much I invest in it? I am all in. And I'm all in, and this is where it gets specific. I am all in for you. You understand? How precious am I to God? Now watch as we get into these next words. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we, here it comes, might receive the full rights of sons. You aren't just an add-in in the family. You're not a Christmas offering, which is praise God, but that's not who you are. You have the full rights of the son that he calls Jesus Christ, of course, and that's what should blow your mind and my mind away. He goes, I see you as precious as my son. You go, Lord, Father, how can you look at me with all the scum and the wretch in my life and see me like Jesus? He says, you need to hear my heart. You need to hear my heart. And so this message is, how do you communicate the heart of God into a world so that it can understand how really committed God is to save all of mankind, to invest in all of mankind, to invest in the person you think is the most obnoxious, wicked, nasty, stinking, filthy, dirty, perverted individual you want to pick. God says, I am all in for him or for her. You have to hear his commitment. You have to hear what this passage is trying to say. Because to redeem those under the law, that means people who are condemned. People that, you know, I shared with you, was it two Sundays or last Sundays ago? I just love that little testimony where the man walks up to someone and he says, can I ask you a few questions? Have you ever lied about something, told a lie? And the guy goes, yeah, I've told a lie. And he said, have you ever taken anything, stolen something? He goes, yeah, I've taken things and stolen something. He said, have you ever thought a compromised thought looking at another, depending who it is, man or woman? And he goes, yeah, I've done that. He said, well, let me get this straight. You're a liar, you're a thief, and you're perverted. Do I have it right? That's under the law. That's what the law does to you. It holds you accountable. It touches every part of your inconsistencies in mind. And so here's Jesus, and he's speaking to you and me. He says, I've come to reach into the circumstances, because that finger pointing, that rests not only on the man in the interview that I was watching on TV. It rests on me, and it rests on you, and it rests on your worst enemy. It rests on your best friend. And here's the point. He says, you're under law, and law will kill you. Law will destroy you. Law cannot rescue you. Law will convince you, as if you let it work properly, that you're not good enough, that you're not consistent enough, that no matter how well and how hard you've tried, you're going to say yes to each of those questions, and you can add 100 more to them as you break it down sin after sin after sin till finally you understand law kills, like Scripture points out. Law cannot save. You will never be good enough. And that's where God enters into this picture and says, where he sent his son at that very point, that he has come to redeem, buy out of slavery, the word redeem, so rescue from this condition. So you understand, he chooses that word so tenderly. He goes, I don't want to lose you. That passage, as he puts it out there, those under the law that we might receive the rights, the full rights, the complete rights as sons. Now, I don't know if you like Donald Trump at all, but if he wanted to adopt me, I'd let him. With all full rights to, wouldn't you let some other, or you can name somebody else, I just, the only one that came to my mind, some billionaire adopt you? Yeah, you can adopt me. You have full rights and privileges to everything I have. Good, I think I'll take the jet and fly over to France this weekend. Go ahead, it's yours. Ooh, right? You understand? God's looking at you. He says, I didn't partially give you a gift. I didn't get moved and just thought, oh my goodness, how sad Bruce is and how much help he needs. And I didn't just visit him one day. He said, I am invested. I have everything and I lay it into your arms. You are a son. You are fully adopted, and I am all in for you. And he wants us to just be covered with that truth, to understand, I came to seek and to save the lost. I came to seek and to save the unadoptable. I came to, you see, I don't deserve to be adopted by anyone. I certainly don't deserve to be adopted by some local billionaire or whatever the equivalent is. I have nothing to offer that particular individual, and I have nothing to do but probably take from him. And God says, I still want you. That's the nature of this verse. And he's trying to say, this is what Christmas is speaking right out here. It says, because you are sons, God has sent you the Spirit of his Son into your heart, the Spirit who calls out, Daddy, Abba, Father. You have to remember, most of the time, I'm too stupid to pray enough. Raise your hand if you're praying enough. Raise your hand if you, get up in the morning, every morning, and say, Lord, what do you want from me today? I am so thankful for some reason you saw fit to bring me through the night. What, did you think you deserved last night's sleep? Did you really think you deserve to be woken up this morning? Do you really think you've earned another Christmas morning? God whispers to you, child, I'm so glad to see you this morning. But you have to approach it like he wants us to understand. A lost and condemned creature, God purchased me. I want that boy. You want me? I want you. And so he goes on and he says, he gives us that spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you an heir, a co-heir with Christ. Do you understand? Here's his son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. We have this with reverence and awe for Jesus, and you're supposed to, and I'm supposed to. And right in the middle of all that information about Jesus, here comes the Father, and he says, I love you the same way. You're my son. Come on, get in line. You're my son. You're my daughter. You understand what he's doing? You're going, I get to stand next to Christ? He said, yes. I want you to understand what I have poured into his life that you saw manifest or read about manifest on earth. He said, that's what I want to pour into my people. When you saw the Spirit come down and dwell on my son, he said, I want to give that same Spirit to you. Jesus looked at his disciples. He says, everything you see me doing, you'll be able to do. What was required? Get in line, understand what it means to be adopted by the Father and work in faith. Now, if you weren't here last night, I'm going to tell you something that you may or may not believe. Those of you who know me well enough know this. I had a horrible time with my sermon last night. And I said, God, this is terrible. I got nothing. I literally, I mean, I had some words I could have filled up with. I literally got into the car last night from my house to here. And I'm driving and said, Lord, you know I'm nothing, and I got nothing, but I sure hope you give me something between here and church. Now, you think I'm joking. That is not a joke. I mean, pastors run out of juice all the time. We're like people. We really are. Okay? I can walk on water a little bit, but nothing. No. You understand? I'm going, Lord, what do you want? And all of a sudden, the Lord just goes, here. And he just began speaking into my spirit. He kept speaking into my spirit. And he said, here's what I, and here, and here. And by the time, I'm almost crying. I didn't cry, but I'm just going, oh, God, this is so good. And I know it's good because it wasn't me. Now, if you understand what I'm saying, you have to understand. God, I didn't think of this one, did I? Nope. And this has nothing to do with me either, does it? Nope. And he gave me the entire sermon I preached last night. I couldn't even repeat it for you this morning. I'd have to get the CD. Carol goes, honest. Yeah, listen to it on the web. And I go, God is so good. He says, you're my son. You don't understand. I don't ever want you to be lost. I don't ever want you to be fail at. If I as a human father can love my son and my grandson and go, thank you, Jesus, for preserving their life and love them with all the love a father and a grandfather can have for children and all the rest. I go, if I, as a miserable sinner that I am, can love them, I go, do you understand what God is trying to communicate? Christmas is God's wrapping his arms around you in the circumstances and inconsistencies of your life. And he says, I came for you. I have entered your life. I chose to walk with you. I chose to go there and adopt you. If you can picture it in your head, you've all heard of adoptions where they get up and they say, we want a child, and they get up and they fly over, and some little baby is laying there, and the family is going to have to stay in this hotel first, and then they got to move to, I've heard about this in China, where they move you from place to place, and you got to stay there a total of 18 days minimum, and fill out more forms, and everything costs more money. And finally, you get to this child who doesn't even know you at all, and you are able to adopt that child after you have invested all of this time, all of this money, and all of this energy, and you say to that child, you are mine. Not in arrogance, but in unbelievable commitment and love. And so God is whispering that, the Christmas message, I have come, you are mine. Pray with me. Undeserved love, sacrificial commitment, all in. That's you, Lord. The stench of a stable, the inconsistencies of weather, the unpredictability of emotions, the ability to speak out of two sides of my mouth, be totally two-faced. That's me. And by your Spirit, I call you Daddy, my Father. And by unbelievable love, you commit to rescue a sinner like me. Come and fill our lives, Lord, with the truth of Christmas, so that we lift up our heads and we say, yes, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. I want what you have for me. Please adopt me. Make me a child of the King. And Lord, live in me by the power of your Spirit, and let that Spirit intercede. Come and cover your people with that blessing, Lord. Encourage them in every way and strengthen their walk with you. Pray this in your name, Jesus.